I'm just going to share very briefly this morning. Well, briefly. 10, 15 minutes, I don't know. And I want to talk about what we have gone through in Acts so far. Look at what I think is one of the key verses in Acts that kind of helps us to unlock the whole thing. And then look at what's ahead and what we're going to. I know in this room we have various people who have been coming to Ignite for various periods of time. And I don't know what you think about the teaching that happens here. You might think that it's completely random and all over the place. And you'd be surprised to hear that it's not. We put quite a lot of thought into where the teaching is going and what we're doing. So way back in September, in fact, I could go earlier than that. Way back in August, we had various people sharing about where they have seen God and what they have seen through God's eyes. Then in September, we went in and we looked at the gospel for 3 weeks, and we looked at what the gospel meant for us and for the people around us. And then we had a week where we had some people from Florida here, and they talked to us about what their church does there. And then we went into Acts. And the whole thing, we've been trying to create a flow of where we're going. And we're looking at Acts while we think about what we are doing as a community. And we thought, what better book to look at than the book of Acts, where we see the church beginning, while we look and study and think about what we should be doing here today in Ireland. So far, since October, we have covered Acts chapter 1, verse 1, right through to Acts chapter 8, verse 4, is where we finished up at just before Christmas. And I've tried to summarize that. Now, we did 6 or 7 talks, can't remember, something like that, over those 8 chapters. And I've tried to summarize it down, and I think I've summarized it down to about 45 words. So you don't need to read that anymore. I'm sure I've probably left something out of here. I'm sure I've left quite a lot out. But I think these 45 words will give you an idea of the picture that we're going on so far. Looks like Alex is typing it right now. Okay, so this is where we've been so far. So Jesus left. This is chapter 1. The followers waited, still chapter 1. Spirit came, chapter 2. Believers added, chapter 2. I think we're going into 3 and 4. Peter healing. Peter heals. Peter's questioned. End of 4, the believers are sharing everything. Going into 5, we've got deception. The believers, there's 2, Ananias and Sapphira, who lie to the rest of them. They die, death, and then there's great fear. Coming into the end of 5, I think I'm probably getting this mixed up now, we have the church. This is, I thought, was quite key. This was the first moment the church was actually called the church. So up until after the deception and the death and the great fear, they're just a community. After they learn about fearing the Lord, they start using the word church. So we have the church healing people. We have the church questioned and beaten. We have the church told to be silent. We have the church continuing to talk, even when they're told to be silent. We have Stephen murdered. We have Saul, who's there approving Stephen's murder. We have the church scattering. And we have the church continuing to preach the word of God, even though they've been scattered. You may be able to see a flow through this as well. I mean, it's so important for us to remember when we're reading these books that Acts is written as a book. I mean, often we can get just down to the nitty-gritty of looking at verses and chapters. Sometimes I try to forget that, okay? When Acts was originally written, there was none of those little numbers beside it. It was a book from start to finish. So we have to try and read it like that sometimes as well. And you start to see a bit of a flow of a story here. We have Jesus at the start, just like in the Gospels, and he seems to be doing the stuff. And then we have the followers left, and it's only when the Spirit comes from Jesus that things really start to get going. As I said here, we have the great fear where the church, this community suddenly learns to fear the Lord. After that, we have the church. We have at the start here just Peter healing and Peter being questioned. Later on, we have hundreds of people healing and being questioned. So the whole thing's kind of growing as it flows. Context is so important when reading any book in the Bible, and I've said that a thousand times, and you're probably bored of hearing me saying that. But it's so important to read it in context and figure it out. I remember a few years ago seeing a website that was advertising trips to Israel and Palestine. And it was trips to go and walk on the paths that Jesus walked on and to visit the spots that Jesus had been to. And on this website, they had a Bible verse at the top to obviously try and encourage Christians to sign up and pay the money and join this. And the Bible verse they had was, Jesus says, come follow me. And you're like, okay, yeah, out of context, someone might read that and go, oh, he means follow him as in just like walk behind him and do the roads that he walked on and go to the places where he went. But when you read it in context, you get a different picture of what Jesus is saying to us. So you take any verse, any sentence out of context, and you lose a little bit of what's going on. So we have to figure out, well, what is Acts talking about in context? When you look at the whole book, what are we reading about here? And I think the key, I'm going to pull out just one sentence, but I think this is key, and I think this sentence highlights what we're going to see throughout the whole book. Much like if you're writing an essay, you may at the start have an introduction which shows what you're going to do before you go and do it. I think the book of Acts has that. And I think it's chapter 1 and verse 8, which says this, and this is Jesus talking to the followers who are left there. And he says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all of Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. I think this is our verse that shows us what we are going to see in the rest of the book. So this verse is what we are going to see in the rest of Acts. I want to show you a map. Okay, so this is a map. This is a map that highlights some of the places where Jesus was during his ministry. You can't read all these. I can hardly even read them from here. All those little squares are little places where Jesus was. So it's highlighting, this is where Jesus did this. This is where he went to the wedding. This is where he healed someone. And it's going through all the places that Jesus lived in and did stuff in. Now, other religions around the world believe other things about Jesus. Hinduism, Buddhism would say that Jesus traveled to India at some point. And was there and learned things there. You would have, well, Mormonism. The Mormons believe that Jesus went to Africa and to North America, I think. He may have even gone to McDonald's or something. And so you have other religions that say that Jesus kind of traveled around a bit. You would even have some people who would say that Jesus was in England at some point. Probably just the English, you can forget about them. But you would have some people that say he traveled around, he was here. But the Bible seems to be quite clear that these were the places he was in. Now, of course, there were some years that we don't have. There are some years there where we don't really know what Jesus did. I think the chances of him traveling to England or North America or India are pretty slim. Because he wasn't loaded. He didn't have a private jet plane ready to go. He would have walked to all of these places. Now, to put this in a little bit of context, this, where Jesus lived his whole life, is pretty much the same size as Leinster. So we can pretty much say that Jesus lived his whole life and never really traveled outside of an area the size of Leinster, which isn't really that big. Now, Leinster's just a little bit smaller. I think we'd have to cut off a chunk of Monaghan and put it in there. But really, you're saying that Jesus lived in this small area his whole life. And I find it kind of amazing to think. I mean, it's kind of amazing to think that God came to earth and lived here in flesh and blood and walked around. It's kind of amazing to think that for the vast majority of Jesus' life, he just lived a above standard, ordinary life. Get up, go to work, go home, make food, do the dishes, go to bed. Life. For the majority of his life, we don't hear of these amazing things that he's doing. And then for his whole life, he just lives in a small area. This is the greatest movement leader of all time, and he didn't go on speaking tours. He didn't go and travel to other areas and win battles and wars and take more land for Israel. He just lived in this small area. He let his message do the walking. He let his message travel. But he didn't really travel. And it was his followers who were to be witnesses for him. It was his followers. It was us, if we choose to follow him, are to take his message and make it travel. In 1 Peter, in a book in the New Testament, we're told that we are the ones chosen by God, chosen for the high calling of priestly work, to be a chosen, or chosen to be a holy people, God's instruments to do his work and to speak out for him, to tell others of the night and day difference he's made for us, from nothing to something, from rejection to acceptance. I don't know if you've seen a few years ago, I think it was 2009, it was in England, they had these buses rolled out, just a normal bus, but you'll notice the advertisement on it. Sometimes when you're traveling in the dark in Dublin, you'll see the posters with Bible verses on it and things like that. They have the same ones in England that would be on transport. But in London, there was a woman, I can't remember her name, but one woman in particular decided she was an atheist and decided that she had had enough of Christian messaging on transport. So she was going to put up her own atheist messaging on transport. And she did it. And she got lots of help from lots of different people, like Dawkins and various other people. And here's the message she put up. There's probably no God, now stop worrying and enjoy your life. And in 2009, these all rolled out on London transport. And quite controversial at the time. Not only were some Christians annoyed that these messages were even going up, but there was atheists annoyed at the wording of what was going up. And there was lots of Christians as well who were just kind of laughing at the wording. There's probably no God. They can't say with certainty whether there is a God or not. Now, the woman who paid for these adverts and who got the whole ball rolling said that she very purposely chose the word probably because you can't prove God exists and you can't prove he doesn't exist. And there's no atheist or scientist in the world who can prove that God definitely, certainly does not exist. It's impossible. So then you're left with a question. What do you do if you've got a question and you've got no clear, 100% guaranteed evidence on either side? What happens? I don't know if any of you listen to podcasts. A podcast is like a radio show, I suppose, that you can download and listen to on the internet or put on your phone. There was a podcast out end of last year called Serial. And this podcast was covering a court case from like 1999 where this young 17-year-old boy was convicted of first-degree murder in America. And the podcast was interviewing this now, I think he was 36-year-old man who had been in prison since he was 18 and was talking to him about what had happened in the court case. Now, what was interesting was that the court case didn't have any evidence that he did the crime. No evidence whatsoever, except the prosecution had witnesses. That was it. No fingerprints, no weapons, no evidence. All they had was witnesses. Witnesses are important. Can we go and prove to a scientist 100% that God definitely, definitely, definitely exists? No, we can't. But can we be witnesses for the existence of God? Yes, we can. How do you win an argument without conclusive evidence? Witnesses. So that therefore means that what you do when someone hurts you is important. How you deal with someone you don't like becomes very important. What do you do when someone is in need becomes very important. Because we are witnesses for Jesus Christ. I have a friend who's an atheist, and I remember him once saying that if he was negative towards Christianity, it was largely due to his experience of Christian people. So anytime he was negative towards Christianity, it was because the experience he had received from people who called themselves Christians. Witnesses are important. And Jesus says, "You will be my witness." Us here are his witness. But we don't do it alone. We are his witness, but we receive power from the Holy Spirit. This is hugely important in terms of the whole book of Acts. We've seen it already. Acts 1, Jesus leaves, the followers are waiting, and they do some things, but nothing significant happens until the Holy Spirit comes on board. We don't do this alone. I've thought before that, you know, if Jesus was on earth, things would be better. You know, if only Jesus was here, we could, you know, hop on a plane and go and see him, and things would be so much easier. But in Ezekiel, in the Old Testament, this is what God says to us. He says, "I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my ways." I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my ways. This amazing thing of how we had God there somewhere up in the heavens, and we had God on earth, and then we have God within us. On the night before he died, Jesus told his disciples that he would send the Holy Spirit. And he said, "When he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will glorify me." And I suppose here's the deal. Sometimes when we're talking about the Spirit, we think of all sorts of wacky things. And the Holy Spirit doesn't necessarily make us wise in some sort of magical kind of way. He doesn't give us little nudges or insider tips as to what stocks to invest in or what street to live on or what car to buy. Rather, he makes Jesus a living reality for us. He makes Jesus clearer in our vision. He transforms our character, giving us new clarity, new humility, new boldness, new courage. He gives us love and joy and peace and kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness. Self-control. I think I've missed another one. These are the things that the Spirit gives us, that he works within us. And all of this, the Spirit working within us and giving us these things, leads to us becoming wiser, leads to us making better and better decisions, whether it be professionally or personally. All of this changes us over time. So we are God's witnesses. We are Jesus' witnesses. But we have the Spirit working within us, changing us, transforming us. And then lastly, we are his witnesses in Jerusalem and all of Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Actually, I have a few more maps, I think. Okay, so this is just off Google Maps. So we have, you can see England, a little bit of Ireland there. And over here we have Israel, Palestine area. And this dot here, very small, is what we've covered so far in Acts. Okay, so Simon has said to us that Acts can be broken down into where they go. So Acts 1, verse 1 to chapter 8, 4, where we've got to so far, happen in this little circle here, Jerusalem. And pretty much everything in those happened there. Then, in the next section that we're going to do, which is going to be Acts 8, 5 to 12, 25, this is going to cover what happens in Judea and Samaria. So now we're going here. And we're going to cover and see what the disciples and the followers of Jesus do here. Then after that, we're going Acts 12, 26 to the end, 28. And we're going to see them going here. So we can start to see the spread of the gospel going out. Now, Acts 28 is the end of the book. But that doesn't mean that just it ends here. Because we know that it goes further. Jesus is the greatest movement leader of all time. And I said over Christmas, on Christmas Day, I said that that there wasn't a continent on earth where there wasn't someone who was giving praise for Jesus being born on Christmas Day. His message has spread to the ends of the earth, and it continues to. So this is what we're going to see in Acts. And just very briefly, before I finish up, I'm going to show you what the teaching plan is for the next 6 months. Now, the preachers aren't down here, or the people who are talking aren't down here, but this is what we're looking at for the next 6 months as we continue this story of Acts. So the next 2 weeks, we have What is God Doing in Dublin? We've got Deco, I couldn't remember a second name, and we've got Alan Murphy, who are coming in to talk to us about what God is doing in Dublin. After that, then we have 7 weeks of what God did and the followers did in Judea and Samaria, and we'll cover that. After that, then we'll have 2 weeks of what is God doing in Ireland, and we're going to have a couple of people coming in to look at it from Ireland. I do have some funny names up there. Peter's Hokey Cokey in prison is the best one. I think I'll have to make sure I'm doing that talk. Then we have the dawn service on Easter Sunday morning, before going into the last part of Acts, which will finish at the Ignite weekend away at the start of June. We do have an RT television service in there as well, so you can get that in your diaries. Make sure you don't miss that. So that is where we're going for the next 6 months. I suppose, like, as ever with anything that we're doing, these things are flexible and can be flexible. And this is what we've planned for the next 6 months, but that's not to say that we won't change if something else comes up. What I would say from the people who think about the teaching schedule is that we welcome your thoughts on what should be taught, on what could be taught at Ignite, and what you would like us to teach on. So do talk to us and tell us those things. I'm going to ask Wendy to come up. Yeah.